Good morning. Last time we were together, we were reading the scripture where the angels told the ladies at the sepulchre, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And the Bible says in verse 8 of Matthew 28, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. They came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Come and see, go and tell. You know, it's interesting that we can see that those who go and tell experience sweet fellowship with the Lord. Last time we were together, we talked about come and see. We talked about the proof of his death, that Jesus actually did die. Not swoon. His body wasn't stolen. He did die. And then that he rose again from the dead after the third day, just like the scriptures said. And so we ended that broadcast by inviting you to make your decision. You had heard the evidence. And like a jury, once the evidence has been presented, the decision has to be made. Now, once that decision is made, and once the ladies went to tell the disciples, it says they did run to bring his disciples word. So, there it is. They went to tell. Now, the disciples became changed men. Changed men. See, prior to his resurrection, when they were taught about servanthood, they argued about who was the greatest. That's one of the shockers. Jesus had just described to them the fact that he would be crucified and buried and rise again from the dead. And instead of getting what he was saying, even at the upper room when he instituted the Lord's Supper, they were arguing about who is the greatest and who will sit on your right hand and on your left hand in the kingdom. They were men that were filled with just carnal attitudes and desires. They weren't open to servanthood. They were only open to rulership. That was before his resurrection. You remember when Jesus asked them to pray? What happened? Yeah. They fell asleep. And Jesus came back in the garden and said, can you not watch and pray with me for an hour? And he went to pray again alone, and they again fell asleep. You see, before the resurrection, no power, no prayer, no understanding that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But after the resurrection, these men became men of prayer. These men gathered together with 109 people, a total of 120 people, for 10 days of prayer. They were changed men. You see, prior to this time, they didn't pray. They spent time with Jesus, but they didn't pray. But now that he's in heaven, now that he's gone, now that he's out of their presence, now they've learned to pray. So when he taught about servanthood, they argued about who'd be the greatest prior to his resurrection. When he talked about prayer, they fell asleep prior to his resurrection. When asked about their identification with Christ, they did not even know him. Everybody ran away. Then, of course, you remember Peter saying, I don't even know him. No, I'm not one of his disciples. Prior to his resurrection. But after his resurrection, what a changed man the Apostle Peter was, standing up and declaring with all boldness that Christ had died for the sins of the nation of Israel and the sins of the world, and boldly pointed out the truth that these people were guilty of shedding innocent blood after the resurrection. Now, remember, prior to the resurrection, when told that he would rise again from the dead, they were totally clueless. But after the resurrection, everything changed. Now, what could change cowards into mighty witnesses? What could change cowards into martyrs? Men who were willing to lose everything and leave everything for the cause of Christ, even to the cost of losing their own lives, which were near and dear unto them. What could change cowards into martyrs? What would change a man who couldn't stand the pressure of a servant girl, but now would face down the Sanhedrin court of the Jews? 70 of the strongest, most powerful men in the entire nation of Israel. What could change a man from cowardice to strength? Remember when the disciple Thomas saw Jesus' hands and feet, he became such a believer that he stood with the best of them. He was later pierced through with a lance and died for his faith. See, something changed all of that. And it was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when the disciples heard the story from the angel, come and see, go and tell, that revolutionized their entire philosophy of life. That changed their entire prospects for life. Go and tell. See, the resurrection made them go and tell. And they became willing to pay the ultimate price for their faith. History tells us that Peter was hanged on an upside-down cross for his faith. Mark was dragged through the streets to his death. James was beheaded because they took the commandment clearly, go and tell. Now, go and tell whom? Well, whoever hasn't heard the word. Whoever hasn't heard the word. And of course, that's our question for today. As we come to the Easter weekend and all of the excitement of up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes, we'll have people that will be talking about Easter, and they'll be talking about an Easter bunny, and they'll be talking about Easter eggs, and they'll be talking about this and talking about that. But many of them, that's all they know to talk about, because they don't know the true story of Easter. See, four times in verses 7 through 10 in Matthew 28, we see that we are being commanded to go and tell, and we're commanded to obey the commandment to go and tell. Then we see a command to go and tell the whole world in verse 19. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Well, there it is again. Go and tell. Now, I want you to note, the believers who participate in the going and telling have a fantastic, sweet fellowship with the Lord Himself. We pointed that out a few moments ago. It could be that you are living a life of despair, discouragement, depression, because you have not obeyed the commandment to come and see, go and tell. Maybe you've come to see that Christ is the Messiah, He is the Savior of the world, and you've come to see that you need Him as a Savior, but that's only half the commandment. You have failed to obey the commandment of go and tell. And as a result of that, there's no joy. There's no fellowship. It's going through the motions, as it were. Now, it could be that you've never come to see, that you've never come to Christ to trust Him as your personal Savior. If you have, then go and tell. and you begin witnessing the love of Christ. You know what works best? You know what our friends and co-workers can't argue with? It's your personal testimony. Your personal testimony. Oh, they can argue with so many different things that they don't say make sense, and I just don't understand this, and I can't see that. But when you tell them, this is what I was like before Christ. This is the way I acted. This is the way I thought, just as we were pointing out in our last Bible study. I had no boldness. I had no faith. I had no ability to stand up against criticism. But now, the power of Christ is working in my life. It's the power of the resurrection. And that is your personal testimony. How about your neighbors? Coming into the spring and summer months and fall months, when you're out walking around the neighbors, walking your dog or just in the front yard, do you have any contact with them? You see, so many times we just casually meet people without the concept that it's not casual in God's mind. In God's priority, nothing is a casual contact. But everywhere we go, God brings people across our paths for His cause. Fresh air opportunities, anytime, any place, maybe at work, maybe people that desperately need to hear a good word of encouragement. You see, we need to be able to say that we have come to see and we are now going to tell, because there are so many people who desperately need to be rescued. It was one of those disasters that riveted the attention of our nation. 9 Pennsylvania coal miners had been evacuating when they inadvertently broke through a flooded shaft. An estimated 50 to 60 million gallons of water rushed in, trapping the men in this underground chamber. When the water rose over their heads, they had to swim to higher ground, still 240 feet underground. And for 2.5 days, rescuers didn't know if the miners were dead or alive. Once they made contact through a phone line, they lowered into the flooded shaft. They established a line that could deliver compressed air and began pumping out the water. 77 hours after the ordeal began, the rescuers brought the miners one at a time to the surface. And as the last one came out, the governor of the state simply said, "All nine, all nine." My precious friend, that's what Jesus wants to be able to say about your family and your friends. All of them have come to Christ. Come and see. Go and tell. God bless.